Hey, listen. We're going to have some fun. Get after it. Step it up. Get in here. It's a mandate from above. Come on now. I don't want to be Friday guy, but it's Friday, clones. Get yourselves together. Get on the phone.
Come on.
Hit me up. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Let's do this. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. In fact, Alvin, that might be the new Deca. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
I need a Deca. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Okay,
come
now on. We're getting somewhere. That's what
come
I'm
on.
Looking for.
Come on.
What's going
come
on? How y'all feeling?
Come
nice to have you here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lots to get to, including an update on Saban v. Fisher. Come on.
Come on.
The telephone number is 1-800. Come on.
Come on.
Now dial that. I changed the number finally. I wanted to change things up. So I changed the phone number to 1-800. Come on.
Come on.
Just look at the letters on your phone and dial it out. It's going to change your fortune. Once again, that telephone number, toll free nationwide and in Canada, 1-800. Come on.
Come on.
Chalk will be on the other end waiting. 1-800-CMOOOOOOOOOOOOON. Come on.
Come on.
All right, so 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. No, no, check that. Hit me up on Twitter at Come On.
Come on.
I'm changing my handle. At Come On.
Come on.
Hit me up on my website at ComeOn.com.
Come on.
Instagram at Come On.
Come on.
All right, enough of that bit. Come on.
Come on.
Hey, listen, interviews look good, really good. Here's what we have. Jarvis Landry, love that, coming up at 9:40. Saints wide receiver. Top of hour number two, big, come on, Betts.
Come on.
The big head. I've never seen him so fired up. I'm not sure why that is. But I hit him first thing this morning, and he fired back in all caps on text. Come on, Jim Rome,
come
let's
on.
Do this. For some reason, the head is feeling it. So we've got Big Head Betts. I did not want him to wait until hour number three. Big Head, James Kelly. We're going to hit the PGA Championship, some NBA, some NHL, the Preakness. Let's get paid. Let's get down. Also, we're talking some Jets football. Yes, I said it. DJ Reed in hour number three. I've got Alvy's Ionic Week that was. I'm looking for your ATP. And you know what? I want to talk about the smack off, and I'm going to do so in the way that I'm going to encourage you to make a telephone call. There have been some
the
Ionic legendary SmackDown, SmackDown, SmackDown. There have been some legendary first time calls, which I want to get to. All right, so start dialing 1-800-636-8686. Thank you, Alvin. Come on.
Come on.
Let's start with the fact that it jumped today. Thankfully, it did. The college football world. Hell, the entire planet still reeling from Nick Saban v. Jimbo Fisher. What that was a verbal slap fight for the ages. A couple of old rich dudes emptying both barrels on each other. One dude effectively calling the other a cheater. And then the other one calling him a narcissist and saying that he should have been slapped upside his head.
Somebody should have slapped him.
So who you got? Who you got? The 70-year-old who eats Little Debbie's or the grown man named Jimbo. The dude with the reddest ass ever or the dude with the thinnest skin ever. A classic case of ass v. skin. Love that matchup. Ass v. skin. So are you Team Nictator or are you Team Jimbo? Or are you like Lane Kiffin and just about everybody else in the sport just cackling out your ass and watching it play out? Kiffin told Bruce Feldman, quote, I'm speechless. First time in my life. I kept saying, this can't really be happening. Is this real life? I still haven't moved from my seat. Should have been on pay-per-view. End of quote. Yet again, I am Team Kiffin. Because the whole thing really is so awesome. I love it all. Just like I love A&M's athletic director running to the conference commissioner to complain that Saban had violated the SEC sportsmanship bylaws with his comments. He actually did that. He actually said that. To which I would respond with, right, because sportsmanship is the most important thing here. Sportsmanship is what's at stake here. But I do love it. I love that that was his response. Like, I want to say, why don't you all man the hell up? But I don't want any of them to man the hell up. I want them to keep being children. Thin-skinned and butthurt is the very best way to go through life.
Buttocks.
The only thing I hate about this was Nick Saban going into his back pedal like he was Deion Sanders about singling out Deion Sanders and A&M with this garbage and bullcrap on Sirius XM last night.
That was a mistake, and I really apologize for that part of it. I really wasn't saying that anybody did anything illegal in using name, image, and likeness. I didn't say that. That was something that was assumed by what I said, which is not really what I meant, nor was it what I said. So there's nothing illegal about doing this. It's the system that allows right. you to do it, and that's the issue that I have.
Come on with that, man. Did you get the hell out of here with that non-apology? I do not accept that non-apology. Saying that something sucks is not a take, but that take sucks so much. That's the worst part of this whole thing. There is absolutely no need for that crap. That apology / non-apology is the real violation of the sportsmanship code. That's the real cheating in this case. Cheating all of us out of what we really want. More of the red ass. More of the butthurt. So that's a really lame apology. And I am, for one, not accepting it, Nick. And I'll be even more pissed if Jimbo flips from his take yesterday and he accepts that apology / non-apology. Nor do I need to hear Saban saying that he wants to, quote, clarify what he said. You can get that crap out of here as well. Your clarification is an even worse idea than your apology, because what you said on Wednesday was perfectly clear. You said, quote, A&M bought every player on their team.
A&M bought every player on their team.
End of quote. No need to clarify that. That's clear as hell. You said what you said. You knew what you were saying. You meant it, and it was awesome. Don't be looking to clarify something that's clear as day, Nick. No one's asking for your clarification on where you stand on this issue, Nick.
Don't
we already
that.
Know. Just as we know what this is really about, Nick. What this is really about is you being butthurt. It's because Fisher beat your ass on the field, he beat your ass in recruiting, and you didn't win the national championship. These are all things that you're not used to dealing with. And with NIL, things are changing quickly. Others are doing a better job of it than you are. And you know it. That's why you lit Fisher up. Because it's getting away from you. Because you know that you may no longer be the standard. So save your sanctimonious bullcrap about the glories of amateurism and players going to a school for player and personal development. And do not insult us with that nonsense. It's not about that. It's about you getting your ass kicked and others doing a better job than you in dealing with the new realities and the reality that you no longer control everything. Not if your former assistants, who are 17.5-point dogs, are kicking your ass on the field. And I'm not sure what pisses him off more. The fact that he lost to A&M, or the fact that A&M is so freaking proud that they won. Because the Aggies have been celebrating that like they won 5 national titles. Saban wants everybody to know they didn't win it because they're good. They didn't win it because the coach is a good recruiter. He wants everybody to know they won it because they, quote, bought every player on their team.
A&M bought every player on their team.
And don't you come up in here, Nick, and try and take that back. What, the best thing ever? You can't take back that line. You can't jam that line back into the toothpaste tube. You can't jam that cow back into the barn. You can't unring that bell. You said it. And you know it hurt A&M badly. Hurt them to their core. Because A&M hasn't won jack. Believe me, Fisher is no better than Saban. Him jumping up on his high horse is also rich as hell. And given how he's telling everybody to look into how Saban did what he's done, Fisher better not have anything to hide himself. Because it's not like they've won anything that's mattered there in this lifetime. Hell, that recruiting title was their national title. They haven't even won one of those since 1939. Even Michigan can't believe how hard the Aggies have been dining out on a lack of national success for the past 70 years. A&M is little brother in so many different ways.
Brother.
Little brother,
brother
in the SEC. Little brother,
brother
in their own state. Little brother,
brother
finally thought they had a seat at the adults' table.
Finally.
And then, oh, Rich jumping in. Attaboy, Pops.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come on. Thought they had a seat. Little brother at the adults' table, only to have Dad, Saban, say, get your ass back to the kids' table with all the other toddlers. Like I said, Saban is butthurt, and Fisher is thin-skinned. The way he snapped about this being an attack on his integrity and A&M's integrity was pretty awesome for all of us, but not a good look for him. Like, that temper tantrum that Jimbo threw yesterday sure did make it sound like he had something to hide, didn't it? He used the word despicable.
It's despicable.
About a billion times. He called Saban a narcissist.
A narcissist.
Which is hilarious because any big-time college head coach calling another big-time college head coach a narcissist, is classic pot v. kettle.
It's ridiculous.
Yet he kept on going. He practically accused Saban of cheating himself. Jimbo's out here shouting out things like this.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. Yeah, it really is.
My bad. Did I say that he practically accused Saban of cheating? He flat out accused Saban of cheating and flat out accused him of being a bad guy. Because he knows, because he worked with him. And that's why he never went back to work with him again, because he's a bad guy. So again, why is A&M taking this so personally? Why are they so hurt? Is it because it's true? You went 8-4 last year. You lost to Arkansas, Mississippi State, and an LSU team that had already fired its coach. You've got one top five finish in your time at A&M. And when you freak out like that and you complain about integrity and sportsmanship, it sure makes it seem like you're doing something wrong. And by the way, even if you are cheating, who cares? It's the SEC. The C in SEC stands for cheating. As a longtime former SEC head coach told Feldman, quote, if you ain't doing 85 in a 55, you're going to get your ass beat in today's world, end quote. In other words, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And if you get called out for cheating, you freak the hell out and you call everybody despicable.
It's despicable.
So good. It better not be going anywhere either. They've got to see each other in a couple of weeks at the SEC spring meetings. Then they face each other on October 8th. I can't wait for that pregame handshake or punch. To quote the great Mills Lane, let's get it on.
That's when you know what the answer to that question is.
Huh? Let's get it on. Stop apologizing. Stop clarifying. Just let them hands go. You know you want to. Believe me, we all want to see it.
I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Listen, the cat's out of the bag, boys. There's no need to class this thing up anymore. Taking the high road is not on the map. Don't be better. Just be bitter.
All right, we didn't buy one player.
Don't be better. Be bitter.
Somebody should have slapped him.
Come on.
Jamal.
The only thing worse than Nick trying to apologize for the first time ever was him pretty much taking him back before he finished. But why even start in the first place, Nick? Come on, man. And whatever you do, don't clarify that. No clarification necessary. Top of hour number two, the big head, James Kelly. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if he woke up feeling dangerous. I don't know if he woke up feeling literate. I don't know if he woke up feeling lucky. But I haven't seen the guy acting like this. I don't know if he woke up and realized the dog wash is complete. I don't know if he's on one. But he's fired up. Top of hour number two, big head bets. Also, coming up later on this hour, Jarvis Landry. Have not spoken to him in a moment or two, so I'm looking forward to that. On top of this, how about that bounce back from Boston? You know, Miami's kind of running around like, yeah, we got their number. Flat out kick their ass. We got this. No, they don't. Miami ran into a different Boston juggernaut last night. Boston got healthy. Boston knew they got punked. And they were not going to let it happen again. And they didn't. Celtics looked great last night. I want to talk about that. Also, one more thing. I actually want to talk some baseball. And not just some baseball, but wait for it. Mets baseball. Angels baseball. I'm going to hit the Angels game tonight. That's how hyped I am on them. Mets and Angels. I mean, sure, I've talked about them in the past. But I'm going to talk about them positively. This is not a setup. This is not a setup for that little kid to go, Terry! No, I mean, I kind of like what I'm seeing.
Terry?
1-800-636-8686. James Kelly already wants to correct me. He says he's not feeling literate. You know why you're not feeling literate, dude? Because you're not literate. You're functionally illiterate.
Kansas Jayhawks.
Dude, did you even secure that GED yet? Hey, listen, there have been other junior high dropouts that have made it. And by the way, you are street smart. There's no way you drop out of the eighth grade the way you did, Head, and have the kind of success you've had as an entrepreneur and a broadcaster. You're actually an amazing success story, dude. Smartest eighth grade dropout I know. You still can't read and write. But there's something you bring to it. Like, you're like a savant, man. Oh, looky here. Look who's on hold. Must be smack off season. I like it. I like it a lot. Somebody that I've been looking for finally made the phone call. So let me get out right now. A phone call that I will take next segment. Jarvis Landry right after that. Keep your car. Come on! Let's have a day. Let's have a day. At least until 12:01. Can you do that for me? Keep your car looking its absolute best year-round with 303 cleaners and protectants. 303's revolutionary graphene nanospray coating gives you professional protection in a simple-to-use spray formula. It'll keep your car's paint protected for up to 12 months and give an insane level of depth and gloss. You can also use their brand-new 303 graphene detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine throughout the year. It can even be used for quick cleanups of light dust and fingerprints in between washes. So for a 1-2 punch to keep your car looking great, look no further than 303's line of graphene products, 303 graphene nanospray coating to protect, and 303 graphene detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine. Both products are available right now at Advance Auto Parts, AutoZone, and select Walmart locations. Go to 303radio.com and get more information, 303radio.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, look, why don't we be real for a minute? I'm sure Adam Silver would not like to hear this. But if you didn't hit last night's game, if you didn't get down on last night's game, and you were not a Celtics fan, how hard was that to watch? Or even worse, what if you did get down? What if you did hit that game and you lost money on that game? How pissed would you be? What I'm getting at is, you know, it's one thing to have ass product during the regular season, but these consistent 20-point beatdowns in the postseason are not what anybody signed up for. Not a great thing unless you're a fan of the team that's on the right side of it. But if you're a basketball fan or a sports fan and you want to see competition, I mean, regardless of whether or not you hit that game, regardless of whether or not you won your bet, I mean, you want to see good games. You want to see competitive action. And more often than not, this postseason, we are not getting that. Not good for business. Not good for the product. Unless you got down and you won, and then you probably don't care. But there's a much bigger picture here, right? I mean, the consistent beatdowns, the 20-point beatdowns. Friday is an ATP day. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question and listen later on because I might answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is smack off season. I've got a whole take on that, and I need to lay it out for you. But I did promise you a telephone call. This guy already has a golden ticket. Remember the rule about the golden ticket. If you're not in the field, you need to secure one to get into the field. But having one does not guarantee you get to keep it. It's like you have to re-earn it. So, if you have a golden ticket, there are two ways to lose it. You can lose it by coming on and doing something irresponsible, and then I rip it from you. Alvin, what's it sound like when we rip somebody's golden ticket? That's the reverse of getting a golden ticket. Also, if you're a camper with your golden ticket, you can lose it. Inactivity can cost you your golden ticket. If you're playing scared, I can take it from you. Don't do that. We don't respect that. Come in. You don't have to come in every single day. You don't have to come in every other day or even once a week. But make sure you check in, come in, and RSVP. This guy understands. He already has his ticket. He's coming with the RSVP. It's smack off season. Let's go to Southeast Wisco. Chris, what's going on, Chris? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing, dude?
Good, dude.
Hey, say, listen, man, I heard some young punk call the show earlier this week. I believe he was a rookie clone, I think out of New Jersey. But he's just another punk, pathetic knob trying to make the jump from insignificant Twitter bust out to the big stage and bright lights of the smack off. The little dude was feeling himself and decided to put his plums on the table for the first time in his entire life. He then managed to weasel his way past Tommy D by referencing my dynasty. But the poor little bastard doesn't even understand the meaning of the word, Jim. I have in the neighborhood of 30 rack calls in less than 2 years. Are you listening, Boris or Brandon in Jersey or whatever your name is? But I defer to Stucknut to fact-check my claim. If accurate, I would say that justifies as a dynasty, you Jersey ass clown. Some quick advice for you, new dude. Calm your nerves and start by cleaning off mom's spaghetti from your Lucky Charms t-shirt that you nervously puked all over during your first-time call. Get your clout-chasing candy ass back up in here. You are a watch-lister. Nothing more, nothing less. Get some more reps in, and let's see if you have what it takes to make the biggest of stages on June 24th. As for now, brother, the scoreboard reads me, 30 rack calls, you, one. Jim, consider this my RSVP to Smack Off 28. This year will be year two for me, and nobody is off limits. Let me stress, nobody. Lastly, Jim, you'll be elated to hear I had a Zoom call with Richie Baltus and his team yesterday. They love the idea of you naming one of your Colts throw hips, not hands. You asked if I coined that phrase? Of course I did, man. I'm not only a powerful clone, Jim, I'm also a generous one. That was my personal gift from me to you and the bros over at Jungle Racing. Jim, you already know, brother, but for those that don't, it's a dynasty, clones.
Let us update the numbers. 31 racked calls for Chris in Southeast Wisco. And one racked call for Boris or Brandon. Attaboy. Throw hips, not hands would be an amazing name for a horse.
Throw hips, not hands.
That really would be an amazing name for a horse. And right now, we do have two babies. Well, one baby, one yearling, one in the oven, hopefully. So we've got to name a couple of horses. And Jungle Racing does consist of me, the CEO, and Dodger Jano, my partner in Jungle Racing. She kind of has moved on. Like, she's still really into it, but defers to me on most things. However, I could not just name. It'd be like naming a kid without checking with your wife. You can't do that. I can't just name the horse. I make a lot of decisions based on the stable and the business, but I couldn't actually put a name on a horse that sticks forever without talking to her first. But then again, what's not to like about throw hips, not hands?
Throw hips, not hands.
I like it. RSVP. Again, it's not mandatory, but it's kind of like voluntary camp. You go, you get your lift in, you do it. It's frowned upon if you don't. Yeah, I mean, there's a certain etiquette involved, a certain process. The smack off is an incredible invite to get. You should do the right thing. Class it up in RSVP the way he just did. I love also when they know their own numbers and their own analytics. Chris comes in here throwing it around. He's like, I'm not just saying I'm a dynasty. I've got the numbers to back it up. Now, I'm not sure you want to call it a dynasty per se if one of those numbers does not include an actual strap or a ring. But then again, he's like, hey, I got a body of work, yo. 30 racked calls. And now it's 31. My man, from me to you, great to hear from you, Chris. And I know I will see you on June 24th, SmackOff 28. He's already got his invite. And that made it all the more likely that he will get on the air. Remember, just being invited does not guarantee you'll get on the air. Gino in San Antonio made that very clear yesterday when he called up. And that's Gino, one of the best callers in the history of the program. That's how tough and how competitive that event is. Just getting an invite is tough enough, but it does not guarantee you'll get on the air. You have to keep... He just helped himself by getting racked during Smack-Off season. That was smart. All right, when we come back, we go back-to-back. So that gives you some time to think about how you want to approach this, what you want to do. And I'm going to actually give you a primer on the importance of and how you go about shooting your shot. Because I think some of you are still having a tough time with this. You're making this way more difficult than it needs to be. In effect, you know what you do? You reach for your phone. You hammer out 1-800. Come on!
Come on.
And then you start talking when I say hello. That's the process. But obviously some of you need some more help. Jarvis Landry is next. The big head, James Kelly, top of the hour. But first up, here's a sports update for you. Here's Andrew.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so we have an actual debate, right? Is Chris in Southeast Wisco an actual dynasty? And is that not the ultimate self-gloss? I kind of like it. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. But I kind of like that he thinks and says that he's a dynasty clones when he hasn't won one championship. But he's knocking on that door every single time. Like, if you get racked every single time you call, is that in fact not evidence of a dynasty? Probably not. You know, that'd be like winning 100 games every single year in Major League Baseball and getting knocked out in the first round every single year. Would that make you a dynasty? No. It would make you a great regular season team. However, we're not talking baseball. We're talking jungle. Self-gloss generally does not work. But there's something about that cat calling himself a dynasty that makes me laugh. Actually, he makes me laugh. He's good for the show. But if you clones want to weigh in, you go right ahead. I'm efforting Jarvis Landry, by the way, right now. What's your reaction to that guy calling up and calling himself a dynasty for getting racked 30 times, but then going and getting racked a 31st time? Like, he's almost a guaranteed rack. But then the biggest question of all, what separates the good from the great from the Hall of Famers, and the Hall of Famers from the GOATs? How you show up on the very biggest stage. He's got to clear that hurdle first. And Rich Kane says, how can you have a, quote, dynasty if you haven't won anything? Calling 30 racked calls a dynasty would be like calling five trips to the NBA playoffs a dynasty. Fair. Except it still makes me laugh. Dear Jim, maybe Chris in Southeast Wisco ought to find himself a top 10 smack-off finish before he's above getting shade thrown at him from a first-time caller. You'd think that he was from Western Wisco because he sounds like your average Vikings fan. Accomplished nothing but thinks he's on top of the world. Regards, Matt in Titletown. All right. As promised, we are joined right now by a receiver for the Saints. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. First player in NFL history with at least 70 receptions in each of the seven first NFL seasons he played in. He was second in the league in yards after catch and fourth in receptions since 2014. Nearly 700 receptions and 7,500 career receiving yards. 63rd pick in 2014 at LSU. The Saints are going to open up against Atlanta on September 11th. Jarvis Landry is my guest. Jarvis, it's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken. How are you doing, and how does it feel to be a member of the New Orleans Saints?
Man, thank you for having me on. It has been a minute. It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing. It's a dream come true to be able to play for, you know, the hometown team and have opportunity to do some big things.
Jarvis, it's great to have you back on. So for the folks who are not from Louisiana and did not go to LSU, can you take a moment and explain what that connection to the state is like and why it's so special to be playing at home once again?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place where, you know, football is religion. You know, it's a culture. It's embedded in the culture from childhood, you know, and it's something that means a lot to the state of Louisiana. I know for me, being able to play high school ball, college ball, and now play at the highest of all levels back in Louisiana, like I said, it's a blessing. It's surreal.
Jarvis Landry is joining us. Now, I know that you and Jameis Winston have had a number of conversations during the decision-making process. What were those conversations like, and what did you take away from them?
I just took away, like, the leadership that Jameis possessed. You know, I've always been a fan of Jameis. I've watched his career over the past couple of years, and I think for me, just our conversation, just understanding his leadership, what he was looking for at this point in his career, the things that, you know, he was trying to accomplish from a team perspective and, you know, as an individual, was something that really just stuck out to me. I believe in him, you know, like he really convinced me, you know, to continue to believe in him, you know, and that was something that really drew my interest into joining the Saints.
Jarvis Landry is joining us. And then on top of that, of course, you've got a receivers room, Jarvis, that I'm going to say is pretty special. And then you're going to come in and take it to another level. When you look at the talent of guys like yourself, a healthy Michael Thomas, also Chris Olave, how good can this group be?
Man, we could be special. You know, it's for us, we got to, you know, learn from each other, you know, play for each other, make the plays that come to us, you know, each guy, myself, Mike, Chris, you know, a couple other guys that's going to help us this year, just, you know, continue to be who they are. You know, I think if we just all continue to be who we are, you know, we're going to make things happen.
I said, Jarvis, like, when you talk about who you are, it seems to me, and this is my take, that when you show up, you're not looking to just show up and put up numbers. You are looking to help change the culture, impact the culture. As an example, when you arrived in Cleveland, they had won just one game in the previous two seasons. They were the laughingstock of the league, and I think that you were the face of that turnaround. How were you able to change and impact the culture the way you did there?
Yeah, I mean, the culture in New Orleans is already set, right? You know, they've been able to, you know, be 1-2 in that division for a long time. They've been able to make a few playoff runs. I think, you know, for me, you know, I always want to go into a situation, you know, I'm a leader by example, so I always want to go into a situation not talking much, just working, you know, and paying attention to everything, obviously respecting the leaders and the culture that's already embedded, and then finding my niche, you know, finding what where I can step in, and from a leadership standpoint, also from a player standpoint as a receiver, you know, a mentor, as a vet, you know, just finding my lane and where I can fit in with this team. That way when the season starts and as the season goes, you know, it has a good flow to it. And the things that the New Orleans Saints believe in and is something that is in me too, I'm sure.
Listen, I get that. I understand that. And you're going to be more about action than what you actually say per se. However, there was that legendary speech in the receivers room back in Cleveland about being a professional, about practicing until your leg falls off. I mean, it was awesome, I think. From the outside looking in, I thought it was awesome. What do you remember about that speech and then the impact it had on everybody else?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the things that was a big part of the turnaround in Cleveland. Obviously, you know, it wasn't only me. You know, it wasn't only me winning games. It wasn't only me leading guys. But that was something that definitely helped change the mindset in the receiver room. You know, and then, you know, as I began to have more conversations with other players in different positions, you know, then those things from a mindset standpoint begin to change. And you get the right type of guys in the building, you know, you can change your culture, you know. But I'm grateful to say that, you know, I left, you know, Cleveland better than, you know, the position that I found it in. And, you know, in life and in all things that we do, we all aspire to do that. So I'm happy about it.
Jarvis Landry joining us. I want to ask you something. I'm going to be pointed about this. I think you did. You absolutely left that situation better than the situation you inherited or went into. I get that it's a business, but I want you to help me with this. It's a different kind of business, right? Business is business, but this is a business where you fight through certain injuries and you make certain sacrifices. And if you lay it all out there for the organization, and then the organization doesn't do probably everything in its power to fight to keep you, does that hurt? Does that sting? What does that feel like?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, but as I'm understanding, as many of guys have before me have understood, and guys after me will understand that, you know, it's about what you can do for me now, you know, and you know, the loyalty only extends to a certain extent. And, you know, being able to go in and do your job each and every day to the highest level, leaving it all out there on the field is all you can do, you know. And all my brothers that's in the league now and, you know, after me, you know, like, I'll always just tell you, you know, like, just do your part and let the rest take care of itself. That'll be my only, you know, advice. And, you know, at the end of the day, you'll have to live with it, you know what I'm saying? So when the smoke clears and, you know, everything is settled, you kind of look back at your career, as I look back, being traded twice, well, being traded and then being released. It's, you know, it's eye-opening, this business side of it, things, but it doesn't change the way that I approach the game, the way that I train, and the things that I want to accomplish from a team perspective and as an individual, while I still have this window to be able to do to play the game that I love, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think that response right there, I think that's real. I think that's professional. I think that's powerful. I think that's even bigger than the NFL, man. That's some life stuff right there. That's the kind of thing you tell your kids. That's the kind of thing you tell your friends. That's a really powerful statement I think you just made. So Tyron comes back home. You come back home. Odell does not have a team at that moment. How badly would you like for him to be on this team? And if you try to recruit him?
I think any team, you know, when he's healthy, would love to have a guy like that on their roster. You know, he's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous leader. Obviously, you know, he has the God-given ability to change a game, to take a game over. And that's, you know, I suspect that that's going to be the same thing that, you know, when he comes back healthy, that he can do. So I would love to have him be a Saint, but, you know, I know that'll be no small task, but we'll try to figure it out. Trust me.
Jarvis Landry joining me for another moment or so. So I spoke with Tyron recently, and knowing him, knowing how you operate, I know that neither of you are there just because it's a nice story to come home. You're there to win, and you're there to win big. Have you allowed yourself to think about what it might feel like to win a Super Bowl with the Saints?
You know what? I haven't actually taken a moment, right, to you know, tell you what that feeling would be to win a Super Bowl, you know, period. You know, and obviously to win the Super Bowl in the state that I grew up in and played most of my football in, I haven't took a moment to understand what that feeling would be, but I'm looking forward to doing everything I possibly can on my end. To making sure that, you know, when we have this conversation again at the end of the year when the Saints are holding that Super Bowl trophy, I'll be able to tell you what it feels like.
That's really interesting. Really quickly, so like, why some people have this image and they try to burn that image kind of into their mental hard drive and it's always there. And you just said, no, I have not allowed myself to think about that. In fact, I generally don't think about that. Is that just a matter of you always being where your feet are, or why do you not think about that?
I think, naturally I train to be a champion, you know. Naturally everybody work in the off season to be a champion. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, it still comes down to the process, you know, and like you said, being where your feet are. You know, there are a lot of games before that game actually takes place, you know, and you know, and I think that that's kind of where my mind is and where my mindset is. You know, I train to be a champion. Everything that we do, we aspire to, you know, be the best at it and, you know, be recognized for it. And in this sport, you know, it doesn't come, you know, after the first game, the second game, after a winning streak, after a losing streak. You know, it comes when it comes, and that's something that I've realized. And, you know, so I've just set my intentions on, like you say, day to day, be where my feet are, and hopefully at the end of all of this, you know, we all rewarded, you know, in the New Orleans Saints organization.
It clearly works. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. I laid out the numbers as well. Jarvis Landry joining us once again on the show. Man, it is so good to have you back, Jarvis, on the program. I really appreciate you. I appreciate that conversation, and great to have you back, man. Good luck. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Much respect, Jarvis. Love that. How about Tyron and Jarvis back-to-back? The Saints showing up huge for us. That's hour one. We'll come right back with Big Head Bets.
Saints.